The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
So this morning, I want to speak on who is the umpire. Out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, who is the umpire? What do I mean by who is the umpire? Well, we all know, well, most of us know, I didn't know. I had to call some friends on some baseball rules and techniques. I don't know nothing about baseball. I wasn't too much into sports. As you obviously see, I love music. So I had to call some good connections, some good friends that fill me in a little. So who is the umpire? What I mean by this is the umpire, we all know, he runs the game. He calls the shots. He says what's fair and what's not fair, even though sometimes they're not always right, but they're the umpire. They call the shots. You cannot go around the umpire. Amen? At a spiritual side of this, we can almost say God is our umpire. God should be the umpire of our lives. And as we're speaking on the home, the team, God should be the umpire of our homes as well. He should be instructing us and umpiring our lives, telling us what's right and what's wrong if we're biblically following what God says in His Word. And this message, mainly this morning, is for all you dads, all the fathers in this house, but in general as well. If it applies, we'll apply it. But God will speak. And God's Word is penetrating and powerful. And at times, for me personally, it's convicting. And sometimes we don't want to hear from God. Sometimes as humans, we don't want to know what God has to say. We don't want to hear it. Well, I'm sorry, but here it is. God is going to speak to us. And sometimes we don't like it. We don't want to hear it. But we need it. Sometimes we want to tune God out and live it our own way, umpire our own little lives the way we think we should umpire our lives. And I say that to say this. Just this week, I was working on my new bike I got, changing the oil on it, and I have a little shed right behind me that I keep all my tools in, and I grabbed the water from in there, I have a fridge, and I didn't close the door right. Actually, I left it wide open because I was so focused. I'm just mesmerized by this Harley Davidson that God gave me, and I say God gave me because I got it really cheap. Please, trust me, it was really cheap, and I'm just focused on this thing this day, and I'm working on it, and a friend came over, and he's talking to me, and like, wow, And this whole time, believe me now, this whole time, I can hear a beep. The whole time I'm hearing it, but I'm ignoring it. And I'm talking to my friend. I'm working on the bike. 30 minutes go by, and I'm enjoying my cold water. After the 30 minutes, I'm almost finished with my water. When I looked at the bottled water, I heard the louder. Oh, the fridge. I left it open. I tuned it out, even though it was still there. The sound was still there, and I tuned it out. As God's people, we can do that sometimes. We know He's speaking to us. We hear the ee. But that ee could be your name, Frank. 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 And I'm tuning it out with this bike. Or anything. Whatever is in front of you, you'll lose focus. You'll forget who your umpire is. Amen? Let's read the scripture really quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it'll be verse 4 through 12. Oh, it's up there. Praise God. Deuteronomy, here we go. I'm reading an NIV version, New International Version. I don't know what versions you guys have. Here it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit, when you're in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as signs on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So shall it be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to you, to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill. hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this wonderful Father's Day, God. And you are our Heavenly Father, so we praise you this morning. Speak to us, God. Help us to learn something new. Let your Holy Spirit take control and hold of this whole service. We give you glory and honor and worship this morning. In Jesus' name, God's people says, amen. I know it's a little hot in here. I'm already starting to perspire. But it was said earlier, back then, they sat on mountain hills and on rocks. They had no umbrellas. They had no fans. Maybe they had a scroll, and they fanned themselves with a scroll. I don't know, a bush, a branch. I don't know. So try to get as comfortable as you can. It's a little muggy, I understand. But you're here, I hope, because you love God and you want to hear from God. My wife told me this morning crying, honey, I want to be there, but I don't feel good. Some of us could have little issues in our lives. She has a big issue in her life, and she wanted to be here. So we shouldn't be coming up with these excuses or compromising reasons not to be here because it's hot. I'm glad you're here. God bless you. Fathers, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. How many of you are fathers in here? Raise your hand, please, if you're bold enough. All right, I get to talk to some dads. All right. Okay, this was for me too, guys. Trust me. I worked and prayed and studied this scriptures all week, and it spoke to me. Here we have God instructing the Israelites. How many of you know that God's always, always over and over repeating himself in God's word to his people? He's always repeating himself. And there's some of you out there that can believe or have said, and I don't know who you are, but you know what? We hear the same sermons. Jerry, Jeremiah, Frank, you guys speak, but we're hearing the same thing over and over. Well, God, hello, God has to do that to us. We don't get it sometimes. You need to be repeated and reminded and repeated, because the half or other half of our nature is human. We'll forget. We'll tune God out. We won't hear him. Yeah, we're going to repeat ourselves. We're trying to find angles and ways that God's Spirit would speak to our hearts. I am so blessed to be part of this ministry with three different speakers, because I get to hear other views and other angles that I don't get it from. We need it repeated to us. Right here where God says in verse 7 about impressing it in your children, I'll get into that a little later, but the word impress alone, some translations say teach them diligently. Some say teach them. Another translation, I think it was the New Living Translation, says repeat again and again. Hello, parents, repeat again and again. To who? To your home, to your family. And then the next verse, verse 4, what's the first thing God says right where we read? It says, hear, O Israel. We need to be having tuned in, daddies, fathers. Tune in your ears to God's Spirit. We need to be the leaders of our homes that God has called us to be. We want to wash down, talk down some of the things with our kids, in our marriage, and that's not good. There's going to be repercussion. We need to stand up and face it. We have a lot of dads, not here, but in the world, probably don't know Christ. They're stepping out instead of stepping up to the bat to bat for their family. I always remind my wife, let's make war. I heard something coming this morning on the radio, and this preacher's preaching. He goes, we got to make war. We got to use our weapon, God's word. Are you making war? Are you really fighting? Are you being the umpire God has called you to be in your home? We need to stand up and be those men, those dads God called us to be. Your wives and your children. You probably planned them and thought about it, but God already predestined it. That's what he gave us. We got to grab a hold of it, protect it, hone it in, and pray for them. Pray for yourself. And God's always instructing. And these Israelites were just like us, a little knucklehead. Hello? I hope I don't offend no one this morning. But God's word does offend. We can be knuckleheads. We can tune them out. We don't want to hear. See, there's homes that are way off base. Homes that are striking out. Homes that are losing game after game. Homes that are missing the mark. Why? Because right here, hear, O Israel. This is in general. This is for us now. A lot of Christians tell me, you know what, Frank? The Old Testament does not apply. Yes, it does. The Ten Commandments are still there. They're in the courthouses. They're in some schools. Some of us have them in our homes. They apply. They just point us to sin. We don't have to live like a Jewish does and wear all the stuff they wear and eat the foods they do. We're the new covenant, but they still apply. You break one, you break them all. Oh, I hear people, I just said a little sin. I did a little sin. No, you did. You broke them all. You broke them all. I'm sorry. You break one, you break them all. We need to hear. We need to hear what God is saying. We tend to ignore or kick it to the curb. You know, there's many shows. A lot of us watch a lot of TV, and I'm guilty. I do it too. I'm no Mr. Innocent up here. I will not seclude myself from the congregation. I'm just like you. But there's so many shows that are perverted and twisted. They've put it so much in our face that they're actually dragging the homes to live that way, and reality is taking it in. Our governments, our public schools, people in high places, they're tuning God out and bringing it home and being sucked in through a lot of perverted, twisted stuff that's on TV, on networks, on programs. We need to be in God's Word. I try to be in the Bible more than in front of that screen. I try to be in my scripture more than on my phone, even though I love texting. I got really good at it. I don't want to find myself texting and reading. That's bad. That's when you're really bad. When you can be texting and actually talking to someone, there's someone in my family who can do that. I'll keep her innocent, but you'll know soon. She's good, man. She's talking to me. Yeah, Dad. I already gave it away. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, cool. She's doing two things. I'm like, man, I don't want to be reading my scripture. The Holy Spirit's trying to talk to me and I'm texting. It ain't going to work. It won't apply. It won't have effect. Amen? Are you awake today? I am. I'm on fire right now. I love the Holy Spirit when it comes and grabs me. I want it to flow and grab you. My passion is always for God's people to listen, hear what God says. That's why you're here this morning, Dad. Some of you are kind of new. Probably first time here. Don't get scared. It's how I am. But God speaks loud. Think of Moses. You know what the people would tell Moses? I didn't put it up there. Oh, Moses, you know what? God is too loud. You talk to him. We don't want to hear it. They did that. Well, hello, you came to a church where it gets loud sometimes in Jesus' name. Amen? You're going to hear God. I pray your heart's open right now and receptive. Dads, step up. And I'm going to go this far. Mothers, some of you are just the dad and the mom in the homes. God bless you. Be the dad. Step up. Bat. Get up to the plate. Be that woman and kind of a dad. Dad has called you to be. God's called you to be. Yeah, daddy, our heavenly daddy. It's hard. Women, I tip my hat off to you, moms. You guys do have it hard. Jerry said it once. You guys have it hard. Us guys, we have it easy. We like to throw stuff around. Come on, man. Step up. We need to help our wives. We need to help her with our kids. We need to stand up and defend our home. See, as I was writing this message this week, I sit by my front window. I live kind of like in the hood area. A lot of gangsters and a lot of heavy traffic. A lot of action out there. Almost every day something. My dog barks every day at that fence. I'm riding and I'm thinking, looking outside, I'm riding. And there were probably four and five, three of them, walking right in front of my window. I can hear them, you know, doing the finger at each other, cussing. Top of their lung. What kind of home are they coming from? Where's the dad? Where's the direction? Where's God's people? Where's God in that home? I'll go a little further back in time. My wife, when she was healthy, she worked at a store in Brawley, and I'd go help sometimes. And one day where they're just standing, putting stuff on the counters there, and a mom walks in with a four-year-old. True story. Some years back, ask her if you want. I don't want to think, that you think I'm lying. Ask her. She worked there, and the mom comes to the counter. And there's a bunch of stuff. It had knives and the cigarettes, all the stuff they have. At that time, there was a bunch of knives, these big knives they were selling for some reason. I was like, that's not good. But anyways, long story short, the little boy goes, Mommy, I want that, I want that, I want that. He kept bugging me. I'm like, take him out of here. So the mom grabs, yeah, let me have that knife. Knife about this big. Puts it on the counter. My wife, she's real bold. She'll get in your face. My wife will tell you. So my wife goes up to this lady. She goes, you think you should be buying that for your kid? She turns around. She goes, yeah, why not? She goes, this is just a four-year-old. This is not good for him. He can hurt himself. Don't buy this. You know, it's not good. Who are you to tell me, lady? This is my kid. As a matter of fact, give me two. She bought two knives. What is that? True story. Here comes a deep, hard, truer story. 2 weeks ago at work, my good buddy, remember that guy that I work with, the big guy that didn't like me at first? Some of you know my life story here. I repeat it all the time. The guy didn't like me, now does everything, gets on the forklift, does my tickets for me at times. Awesome, God is powerful. I walk into work that morning at 6, he's crying. I go, what's wrong, Fernando? I asked him, the stuff I share personally, I ask first if I can share it. In case they hear it on the radio. Hey, you said I could say it. Fernando's his name, big guy. He's crying, he comes up to me crying, Frank, pray for my friend Pablo. He has a friend in Calexico. His dad has a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old. I believe that's the age right around there. I can't remember. And they were having, I guess, like a little cookout, and everyone's partying. The kids are inside. I believe there was a gun in the house, and the older brother shot the younger brother. Shot him dead. No reason. Couldn't explain it. Dad is just torn up, broken. Hasn't been to work in 2 weeks. Just crying at home, crying at home. See, God set commandments for reasons. He commands us, dads. He commands us for a reason. Because bad things could come. And we need to step up, men, young guys. Believe in God. Hear God. Stay plugged in, connected. Keep coming to church, even though it's hot sometimes. You're giving God the glory. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's not even about the worship. It's what God's going to do to all that. Amen? We've even had, in our country, laws changed to fit their lifestyle. They've been changed. Some schools teach it's okay to have 2 mommies and 2 daddies at home. Is that confusing or what? Is Satan throwing some curveballs in that home or what? You know, the Bible talks that Satan throws these fiery darts. I just learned this the other day through studying. That back in these days when they made these darts, these warriors, they dipped the tips in poison that would make you get, if they hit you with that dart, it had that poison, you'd have this horrendous pain, infection, and then die. Some of them had fire. They put some kind of oil or grease on it, and they had fire to burn the shields down. But the God's people got smart. They started soaking the shields with water. We need to soak ourselves in this water, God's word. Fathers, who's the umpire of your home? Hear, O Christian, the Lord is one. What does it mean by one? When it says here, the Lord is one. You know what? God is Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's talking about unity, teamwork. We're going to need Him and that whole team. We need God, we need Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need you, dads, and you people in general, step in into the team and pray and stand up for your family. Bring God back into the home. Homes are getting worse and worse. Look at the news. Innocent killings. In Mexico, they're just going into houses now to kill people, just to kill, not to even steal anymore, just to kill. Where did they learn this? Wasn't from God. Broken homes, no more godly value in the home. Striking out. Why? Why? Because we allow it. We allow it. We're allowing it. What does the Bible say a family must value? I put this, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 5, I believe it's this next slide. There it is. There is what we should value first in our home. You shall love who? The Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Man, that's a lot. You know what, Frank? I don't think I can do that. Yes, you can. You're just choosing not to. You got to dig in there, man. Make war. Make war with your spirit and your soul within you and get that stuff out. And let your God's Spirit fill you. That's one thing a family must value. There's another verse I put in there, Ephesians 6:1. The very next slide, I believe. No, Ecclesiastes. Thank you, Jerry. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion. What a family must value at home of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of who? There it is, the man. I'm not excluding you, women. You need to be helped, the dad. God made you as a helper. Okay, as a helper. Sometimes, believe this or not, women, a lot of the times God will speak to the wife so the man could go and do what God is saying. Not all wives, but mostly. All the time, the wife gets the revelation and the man needs to go make it happen through God's Spirit and through God's power. Because these men have said it up here too. A lot of times we don't want to listen to our wives, right? Nah, they don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. And then you find, oh, man, they were right. Don't you hate that moment? Like, oh, gosh, I got to tell her she was right, honey. Oh, yeah, you were right. It eats us up. We're the dad. We're the umpire. Hey, they're right, too. God speaks to them. But there it is. Those are values homes need. We need to think about God. I'm just going to throw this out there real quick, and I'll continue. Just a rhetorical question. When's the last time some of you, as a family, have all sat down together to have dinner, prayed for your food, and just talked about God? scripture, anything God has done. Just rhetorical, meditate it, take it home, chew it later, whatever. Maybe even try it once this week. Challenge you. I'll challenge you. I'll tell you the two things that will happen possibly. There's going to be a lot of smiles or some few tears of things that need to come out. Then you have this release, this peace. And the family gets tighter and stronger. And that's not nothing we said, man. It's everything God's doing through us. And women, single mothers, you can do it. So what's the first thing? This is where it gets fun. I like this part. This is where it gets fun. What is the first thing on the baseball theme here, the home series? What is one of the first things a baseball player puts on when he goes out into the field? Anybody? You're right. No, you're wrong. Wasn't a glove. You'll get hurt. Right? Right? Come on, youngsters. A glove, bro. What's up? I hope you're not on the baseball team, are you? Central Imperial? No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. We need a helmet. Because he's going to go. Bro, imagine he goes out there. I'm ready. Plunk, knocked out. This could be God's defense. A helmet. The helmet. Romans 8:6. What did I put up there? I hope that's the next slide. If it's not, go to Romans 8:6. Keep going. Ephesians 6:1. Keep going. There it is. Men, can our minds be in the gutter a lot of the times? Young guys. I'm not innocent. Just because we're up here speaking doesn't make us holy, roly, perfect men. We struggle too. But there it is. Romans 8:6, the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's why sometimes we can't sleep at night. We want to choke someone in our home. I'm tired of them. Can't take it no more. I'm throwing in the towel. What's your mindset on? You're not going to die. Oh, I hate you, honey. I hate you, son and daughter. No. You're going to slowly die spiritually, and there will be no more God in your home, and there's going to be chaos. Because a lot of people I've counseled and talked with, couples, moms, dads, teenagers, I don't know what's going on. Why is all this happening? So I'll put this on. What's protecting you? What's on your head? What's up umpiring your life? There it is. You'll have what? Life and peace. Yeah, not every home's going to be perfect. And I glorify you or give you praise to some of you families. You got it pretty good. Your home is pretty tuned in. Praise them anyway. Thank him because we're easy to forget when it's good. We're easily to tune out God, not hear him anymore when it's good. If your home is good right now, tuned in, praise him. Pray for those that you see that are struggling. Remember in your prayers, in your mind, and think about them. Lift them up, but praise God when it's good. But when it's rough, I was sharing with Victor earlier. He wanted to introduce me to a book. I'm reading a book called Lords of the Valley. I forget the writer. I didn't put it up there, but it just came to mind. It's called Lord of the Valleys, and I'm halfway through, and I love it because it's about a woman that has almost came close to death twice because of cancer in 12 years. And she went through surgeries and medications, and she was tired of life. And she wrote this wonderful book, and then she survived. And this book is just about suffering, about how we remember God on the mountaintops, but we forget him in the valleys. Do you know him as only the God of the mountaintops, the good times when you're, I don't know, coastal and having ice cream and everything is good and the bills are paid up? And you forget him when stuff, we can't make that bill? We're not getting along as couples, as children, as parents, as dads? We forget him in the valleys. He should be the Lord of your valleys first so you can get to that mountaintop. Again, I said it last time, God made the big mountains, our big problems, jagged and rough so we can grab and climb, because if they were smooth, we'd never make it up. They have to be rough and tough. That's where you're refined as gold. And you're built up and strengthened through the trials and tribulations. Trust me, it's not easy being up here, especially with this hot helmet on. I'll do whatever it takes. I almost put the whole suit on. You know why I wanted to wear the whole suit? Would I stand out in your crowd? Absolutely. People would say, hey, there's a baseball player in that crowd. They should say that of your Christian life. When you're at work, when you're outside your yard, wherever you hang out, wherever your surrounding is, someone should see you from far and say, that's a Christian right there in the middle of that crowd. That's a Christian right there working in that company. That's a Christian over there working in the corner's office. I know they spot Jerry out because I know people up there in the Imperial Valley that always bring him up. And you know what they say? Nothing but good things. You know what the most thing I hear about Jerry? And I'm not glorifying Jerry. I want Jerry to know that he's an awesome writer and he loves God. I'm glad I'm serving here next to him and under him in this church. Amen? Grab a hold of God. Let him work in you. Don't forget the helmet when you go on the field. Our mind could be wicked. It'll deceive you. It'll look good for a little while. It'll last for a little while, but it ain't going to last forever if you don't have God in the picture. It has no godly morals or values. You're going to be in trouble. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? It's hot. I'm going to try and go through this real quick. What's the next thing a batter does when he goes up? Young guys? Yeah? But I'm going to save that one for last. Good answer. He goes to the batter's what? Well, they told me, I was informed there was a batter's circle. And he's looking at where he's going to go bat at, right? What's he doing? Warming up. He's warming up. I'm going to go get busy over there right now. I'm going to get me some. I'm going to knock one out of here. What could that represent? For me personally, as I was writing this, because I only want God and His Spirit to lead me to write this. For me, this is our prayer closet. When you go out into the world, when you're going to go face your home, your family, your environments, your surroundings, I think it's the next verse. It should be the prayer closet. Look it. But when you pray, this is Jesus talking, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Man, guess what? When you pray up for your family, you go up to bat, guess what? You might get a home run or two. You're going to get a bunt. You'll probably get all the way to third because God's power is immensable. That little batter circle, you better be praying too. Have the helmet on and be praying. Pray for your family. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your job. Pray for your home. We need to be prayed up, guys, because we have an enemy, an adversary that's out just to have Christians for lunch. Amen. We need to be in that batter circle before we go face anything, before we go to that home plate and ready to bat. Ready to bat. Okay. He's in the batter circle. From here to there, where is he walking on to? Wrigley Field. Right? He has to go walk on the field now and be out there right in front of how many people? Anybody? Thousands, right? At least 10, 20, 30,000. I've never been to a baseball game. I heard the Dodger jogs are really good, though. But now you're in the arena. Guess what, Christians? People are watching you. Oh, man, am I going to hit it? Look at all those people. I'm so afraid. Or, you're no good, you Christian. Why do you believe in Jesus? That's all hocus pocus, made up stories. You're dumb for being a Christian. They're going to tell you stuff. The next verse, please, slide. It should be on there. There's Jesus again. Blessed are you when people what? Insult you and persecute you. Wow, falsely. You didn't even do anything. They're telling you stuff. But why? Because of all kinds of evil against who? Because of who? Jesus. You're going to go through stuff. But if you've got the helmet, got in the batter circle, prayed up, went up to bat, you shouldn't even be focusing on that. You should be focusing on who? The pitcher. Man, we got some good baseball players out there. We're getting there. We're getting there. The pitcher. Who could the pitcher be? Some of you might think this is outfield, weird, funny. To me, what the Holy Spirit revealed, it's hot in this helmet, but I'm going to keep it on. The Holy Ghost moves and speaks, and it's finished. To me, the picture is, yes, Mr. Splithove, horned up, tailed up, man has made up in a red suit. Let me tell you something, he ain't that ugly. He's beautiful. But he could be the devil, throwing all these curves at us. Again, those fiery darts. Some of us have our shield down. Just getting hit. Some of us go out there without our helmet. I'm a Christian and everything's good. You're going to get tagged up, bro. You're going to get knocked out, kicked around, insulted, offended, hurt. And you know what's the saddest thing? I talked to my wife this morning about this. We get up at 4 and 5, pray, cry, talk, eat donuts, coffee, cookies, whatever we can do all that morning. Really get into our word and with each other. Ooh, I hold her hands and stuff. I like that part. When she lets me hold her hands. Cuddler. Anyways, I lost my thought. Blame my wife. See the mind, guys? You see the mind? It's my wife. I can do that. You can do that with your own wives, too. Nobody else. And we talk about God's word. And we just sit there and stare at each other and thank God for what we're going through. And that's what we did this morning. She wanted to come so bad. She doesn't like missing when I speak. When I see her sitting there, I get even louder. See, I draw from her and her from me. We're a team. And we're fighting and making war for our home. Amen? We don't want anything else to umpire our house or our lives, personally as well, and in general. We want Jesus to umpire us. We want God's word to be umpiring us. We need to be ready for all these things and persecutions and lies. And this picture we face every day, our accuser. You know what's sad? I shared it with someone this morning, and he confirmed it actually last night. Victor, he was talking about baseball, and I'm just listening. I'm, come on, give me a cue. Give me a clue, please. Another confirmation. He goes, guess what, Frank? They throw it so fast that you have a split second to see if it's a curveball, fastball, a slow ball. But you see it. I didn't know that. So I said, cool, this is awesome. You know why? Because we know when Satan's throwing stuff at us. And so I was just, let me see. I'm just going to go for it and see what I get. I'm going to just have maybe 2, 5, 6, 8 beers. I'm going to go party all night. I'm going to lie to my wife. I'm just going to cheat to my family. Who cares? Let's see what happens. Hello? Dads? Homes? Home teams for Christ? We know what he throws at. We know what he's doing. Most of you should know. This is a young church. But I've been here a little over 2 years, and these guys have brought some awesome, simple-to-understand messages. A lot of you have shared with me, as well as here and out there. You know what they like? It's simple, and you can understand it. Jesus said that a child could understand this. Why not adults? Why not teenagers? Why not apply it? Why not live what God commands us? Amen? That picture's a liar. Let's see what I put up next, please, the next slide. What he can do. You belong to your father, the devil. This is Jesus again talking. And you want to carry out your father's desire. There it is. We want to do the wrong thing. He was a murderer from the beginning. Not holding to what? The truth. There's lies in our lives sometimes. We need to get out. For there is no truth in him. We know where all those lies, deceptions, and broken homes are coming from. What's destroying them? When he lies, he speaks of his native language. See, he even has his own language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He's the master king of all lies, and he loves to twist and pervert homes, marriages mainly, because it's a covenant God made, and it's holy, and it's going to be the same picture spiritually and visually when we go back to Christ. He is our groom. We are his bride. It's going to be an awesome wedding that day. It's a holy covenant pact that God made. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Dads, children, come on, help them out. Yeah, they're not the greatest. Oh, man, I hate my mom and dad. I hate when they do them this. Well, God gave them to you. Hello, I'm sorry. You know what? When I was growing up as a teenager, I hated my dad. I said, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like my dad. I want to look like my dad. I'm not going to do nothing my dad does. I hate it because I come home every night. All he does is watch the news. Real humble, quiet, to himself, man. Never got into anyone else's business. Minded his own, took care of all his 9 kids, and still lives with my mom, his wife. And now here, years later, I want to be like my dad. And guess what? I look like my dad. And guess what? I watch the news. And guess what? I kind of walk like my dad. And guess what? God has taught me through God's Spirit to be humble like my dad. Have integrity like a man should. Respect women. Take care of the home. Think of the family first. Protect. My dad was all about that. I never saw it. You know why? Because God was tuned out of my life. Jesus wasn't there. I was living my own life. Drugs and partying and living it up, what the world does now and has always done. The pagan lifestyle looks good for a while, but it's going to bring destruction, pain, chaos, and havoc. We need to be in God's word. That lying devil, is there another one? What's the next one? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And guess where he starts? In the home. I said it last time. A lot of homes don't have a dad, so there's no father image to even amplify or know about. That's why these young men end up in prison a lot, because they never had a dad or someone, an image of a dad. I'm a stepfather to the girls I've raised with my wife. They're not my daughters or my stepdaughters, but they're my daughters in my eyes and God's eyes. I've raised them up, and I've taught them and taught them in the ways God wanted me to. Now they're 19 and 20 doing the little things they shouldn't, but it's on them now. I just pray for them. I told my wife, just let them go, honey. God's in control. Let them go wander in the mud a little. They'll come back. Why should I live all sob? Oh, why are they doing that? No, God, drown them in that mud. Let them get sick of it and come back to you. Positive thinking, not negative. Believe they're going to come back. Believe things are going to change in your home. And yeah, some of you are facing some tough ones. Well, so am I. But I don't want to forget to do this every day and get in my prayer circle box, whatever you guys want to call it. I take it from my friend's word. He called it a batter circle, and that's what it is. And get ready. And go up there to that plate in your home, and you stand for Jesus. You stand for Christ in your schools, in your colleges, in your works. Everywhere you go, bring Christ up. God always opens doors. If you pray for it, oh God, please don't let them bring up Jesus or God. I can't. I don't even know I don't even know how to pray. Well, guess what? Praying's talking. You don't have these magical words. Just say, God, let me witness to this person. Use me, God. And yeah, things are going to come. That liar's going to throw those curves. You're going to see them. You're going to know because God's Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit guides you, gives you discernment and direction, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And there's a scripture in there, God says it clearly, and what you don't understand, I think it's way back in one of Paul's epistles, I don't know where the scripture right now or the address, but he says, even what you don't know, you're going to understand that too in that minute, in that second. And you're talking all of a sudden about Jesus, and that person in front of you is crying, or your child is broken because you're telling about the love of Christ. Well, guess what? That's the Spirit of God using you. Run with it. Grab a hold of it. Stick to the commands. Be that umpire. Be the umpire in that moment. So that lying devil will do that. And he'll bring all kinds of sorts of destructions and lies into our homes. Let me see the next slide, please. Next one. The colored one's gone. Back up too. Back to the scripture. From verse 4 to verse 7, in this scripture we read this morning, 4 to 12, 4 through 7, all this is a relationship with God first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. He's telling us we need to think about God, love God with all that you got. Then he goes on to command us when? To do it when? Today. Do it today because I'm telling you today. And there's that word impress again. It means to, the word is shanan in the Hebrew. The word is pronounced shanan. And it means this, to cut, to pierce, to point out intensely. Look home, look family, I'm the umpire. Jesus is the bigger umpire, and this is how it should be in our homes. This is what we need to be doing, because I want to impress them on you like God is commanding to me to with my relationship with him as a dad or a mom and the leader of my house. He's impressing it. He wants to pierce our lives with his word. The first half is a relationship with him. Let's go to the next slide. The second half of all the scripture we read today, which is 8 through 12, I believe, are there. It talks about your relationship with your family. When does it say to talk about God? When? When you're walking along the road, going to Walmart, going to the mall, girls. Oh, that guy is so cute. Oh, Jesus, help me. Hey, just throw him out there, man. I don't do that. No, forgive me. Woo! You can do that. Guys. Wow, did you check her out? She's nice. Oh, so forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me. He'll forgive you. Just cut it out. And us husbands, man, it's hard. We get all kinds of temptations. I counseled with a pastor some years ago before I even was a speaker, and he said something so simple and good that I'll never forget. My wife was sitting across the table, and we're both crying, having personal marriage issues. And she goes, well, there's all these women, and we go to the mall, Pastor, Frank's looking, and sometimes I actually see him look, and you know what you women can do. I don't want to talk down about you, but she was crying. She was hurt. Pastor looks at me, and I'm like, I'm dead. Go ahead, Pastor, let me have it. Smiles at me, and he goes, you know what, Frank? That's wrong. You know that? Yes, sir, I do know that. He goes, looks at my wife with a bigger smile. Now, Martha, we do not live in a planet of men and women. There's not two planets, there's one. We live around them. We just got to learn to protect our minds and our eyes. You need to trust God in what he's going to do. Don't focus on him, focus on God. And Frank, naughty, naughty. You need to focus on God, period, and love your wife like Christ loved the church. See, we live around it. It's going to be hard. But just stay focused. Remember the commands. Think of Jesus first. The first look is free, as they say. But don't pervert it. God didn't make women beautiful. Handsome, handsome men. Young guys? Like me? Nah. Kidding, I'm old. I'm getting tired. But God is there. He always forgives. He doesn't want you to forget who the umpire is. So we already know who could the umpire represent. God. Jesus Christ, His Spirit. What's the next scripture? I think it's Isaiah. Can you take me to Isaiah? Isaiah. Matthew. Ephesians. No Isaiah? Okay. Skip. We'll skip it. So why do you think Jesus commands us to do this? I've said it all in a nutshell. He wants to umpire homes. Why would God command us to do this and follow what He says? Because God knew we would need it. God knows we need Him. But we forget we know we need Him. We forget who the umpire is in our home. Some of you are being umpired by other things in your homes. Something else is umpiring your lives. Something is distracting you, young people. Dads, we get distracted quickly. We need to be focused and remember what Christ says. Hear, oh Christian, hear. Hear God's word. Hear His voice. Wear His image. And He should be the umpire of our lives. Did you know, teenagers, where God says, obey your parents for this is good in the Lord's eyes? You know what? That's going to give you long life. A good life. Not a perfect one. But you have many years. You'll probably miss a lot of the suffering some of us parents went through, young kids. I'm talking to all your young people. If you don't want to follow God as a young person in this room, you're going to have a lot of issues and situations in your life you're going to face, young people. But it's that easy. Do it now. Do it now. Start believing in Jesus. Keep coming to church. Tell your friends. Yeah, they're going to ridicule you. Yeah, they're going to tell you stuff. But if you don't forget who's batting for you and who you're batting with, Jesus is with you. Because one day down the road, they're going to remember what you told them. They're going to be in a situation they don't want to be in. They're going to say, oh, I remember when my friend told me that Christian friend I had. Oh, man, where are they? And they're going to look for you. Trust me, they're going to want to get a hold of you. But start now what God commands you to do. Jesus should be the empire of our lives. Remember my friend, the truck driver? Some of you know the story. At work, I met this truck driver. God saved, led him to the Lord. He was there 2 weeks ago. He gets off his truck. Instead of running to the warehouse, he runs to the office looking for me. Where's Frank? Where's Frank? What's wrong with this guy? He's in his office. He runs in my office. I'm minding my own. He told me to tell you his name. I think I told you. His name's Mike. He goes, Frank, Frank, man, all these things God is showing me now since you've told me about God. I'm talking to my wife different. I see work different. I hear the birds singing. I'm like, yeah, buddy. Because that's what happened to me when I first got saved. Down a few weeks down the road, like, why do I care how the birds sound? Why do I think the trees are beautiful? Wow, the flowers. That's God. Hello? And he walks in, he goes, dude, I'm on fire. What can I do to learn more? What can I do? And I looked at him, dude, you need a Bible. Can you get me one? Absolutely. Can you get me more stuff, some other stuff? I go, okay, I'll get you a concordance. I'll get you one. And I brought him books and stuff, and he's on fire for God. He was going to another church. Now he's looking for a home there. He's out of San Diego. He's looking for a Christian church. I've pointed out a few. And that's all God, because I wanted to be the umpire for Christ in that moment, and I just opened my mouth, and God did the rest. And he wants to do that through your lives. And he tells me, Frank, tell them, I don't care. My name's Mike. I love Jesus. And tell them every time that something happens to me, guess what? I have a Harley now. And the night before, both of us, that night I'm working on my bike and I'm thinking about Mike. It was around 7:30. I'll never forget the time because he said the same thing. And I'm working on my bike, thinking about Mike. I'm praying about Mike on my bike. And then he shows up the next day at work and we're talking. He goes, hey, I go like this, Mike. I know I'm going long. Please forgive me. He goes, I go, Mike, last night I was praying about you. I was working on my Harley Davidson and I was thinking about you. He goes, dude, what time was it? It was around 7:30, maybe 7:45. Guess what, Frank? He's worse than me, and he's big. So I'm like, okay, go ahead, tell me. And he goes, right around the same time, Like you told me I'm helping my wife to fold her clothes. I want to be that man God me called me to be and be a good husband. I'm helping her fold the clothes and I whipped out this Harley Davidson shirt and I want to give it to you. At the same time, same night, same day, the night before. Isn't that God? Okay, then we should know when Satan's throwing stuff at us and we should know when God is telling us to do stuff. You're going to have confirmation after confirmation. But how do we build this home? It should be the very last slide I want to finish here. How do we make our home strong without, we're going to have issues, but how do we make it stand? How can we keep going? I'll close with this scripture in Matthew. Look, this is Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears, there's that word again, hears. Come on, be big-eared people today. These words of mine and put them into what? Practice. It's like anything else. You got to work at it. I didn't become a drummer overnight. It takes me years. It's like a wise man who built his house on what? The rock. Who is the rock? Jesus Christ is the rock and the foundation of our lives. The King of glory, the Messiah to come. On the rock, the rain came. Look, here's the problems that hit us. The rain came down. My aunts and uncles were fighting against me. My school friends were giving me problems. And that boyfriend I want was making me do things I shouldn't. And my boss was making me do all this stuff I didn't want to do. But yet, what? It did not fall. Why? Because he had his foundation built on the rock. You need to build on Jesus. You won't fall. You won't fail. Because he'll lift you back up. I'm going to believe one day my wife's going to be lifted back up. And she'll be lifted up in glory. Not here, if not here, there, yes. She, God won't raise her here. He's going to raise her there. And we stand on that every day. My home doesn't stand and is very spiritual because of Frank or because of Martha. It stands strong because of Jesus Christ. You need him. We need him. I implore you, church. Get on fire. Come, invite people. Let's pack this place in. Bad for Jesus, not for yourself. Draw them for Christ. Be kingdom-minded. Look at what happened to the other home. But everyone, there's those other people. I don't want to say that word because you might go the wrong way. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not, wasn't scratched. I did it intentionally, but not put them into practice like a foolish man. Who built his house on the sand. I was a foolish man for 22 years. Drugs, partying, women, music, clubs, lying, stealing, cheating, prison, you name it. I was a foolish man. God had to come in and do a deep work with a jackhammer, not just a little chisel. He had to bring in the big guns, amen? The Holy Spirit like, gosh, God, this guy, can I borrow that big, powerful jackhammer? Go ahead. He broke my hard heart. He softened me and put his love in me to love people, to love my home and be the umpire of my house. And the stream rose, the rain and everything blew against it and all the issues of life hit my home. And I didn't know how to handle it and I didn't care to handle it. I didn't care to pay my child support. I didn't care to be faithful to my wife. I didn't care to spend time with my family. And this is what happened to my home in my past. I had a great crash. Fell apart. I've ruined two families. I'm not proud to say what I'm saying. I'm not happy to say I've ruined two families. But it has happened. It has happened. It has happened. And we can't forget to use the tools God gave you. This is for offense and this is for defense. And this is God's word that will make it happen. Commandments are from God. He's telling you be the umpire of your home. And you will have a home built on the rock. Worship team, come on up please. God is speaking to some of you right now. Because some of you are putting your guard down. You're putting your weapons on and even God's word. We need to pick it back up and no, let no one fall down. Pick it up. And you're going to struggle. And you're not going to want to. And sometimes embarrassment and shame won't let you. But I'll tell you this morning. This is where we need to be. If you're embarrassed or ashamed, if you're sick, if you're hurting, bills aren't getting paid. This is our hospital, church. This is where we need to come, dads, to be a godly dad, to learn God's morals and values. Is it going to be easy, guys? No. It's going to be a fight and a battle. Make war, dads. Make war. This is Father's Day. Every day should be Father's Day because it's Jesus' day every day. Today is a natural human flesh man's Father's Day. But every day in our life should be Jesus' day. Every day, Father's Day in Christ. Amen? Can everybody stand, please, if you can?
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.